This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Many people write to us, "I would love to believe, but I don't think the gospel makes much sense. Can you help me?" We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have created us, and that when we fell in sin, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to suffer, to die, and to be raised again, that we might be forgiven and brought into relationship with you once more. And yet, O God, we know that when we look at that cross, in and of itself, that's not enough. Help us, O God, to come to a living, personal trust of what you have done through Christ our Lord. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning with verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed the law or because you believed what you heard? Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, a listener writes, I would love to believe the gospel, but it simply doesn't make sense to me that there is such a thing as salvation simply by trusting in Jesus Christ. I would like to know that I had the forgiveness of my sins. I would like to have a power within me that could change my life. There are so many things that are undesirable. I would love to know that when I die, I am going to go to heaven. But how in the world can I really believe that? St. Paul describes me, the writer says, when before my very eyes he tells me that Jesus Christ has been portrayed and crucified. I've heard that before. I have read it, or I have had it read to me. In my home, in my church, there has been much conversation about what Christ has done for the sinner. I can't believe this wonderful message. In spite of all God has done for me, it is still not enough. What good is it to know about Jesus Christ if he is not my Savior? I go to church. I enjoy the beautiful hymns, the organ, the friends, and I am helped by some of the Christian teaching that requires little or no faith. But I know this does not make me a Christian. It does not help me live in a personal relationship with Jesus. So I would say today, friend, if you are honest about wanting to trust Christ as Savior and Lord, this portion of God's Word can give you a lot of help. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you say, yes, I know that. I know the Bible says that. My problem is, how do I come to faith, to the place where I can really say, intellectually I understand, and spiritually I embrace this great, great message from God's Word? But then it goes on to say, that is the Bible, that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In other words, the Bible is telling us that faith is a gift. Let me say it once more, because I see and hear quite often people acting like a faith is something that I have to develop myself. Somehow or other, I'm not working hard enough. I'm not in the right places, or whatever else it might be. Not at all, friend. According to the Word of God, faith is a gift. It wasn't enough that God created us, and that He sent Christ to atone for our sins by suffering and dying to pay the price for our sins. It wasn't enough that He raised Christ on the third day from the grave. It was necessary that God, the Holy Spirit, came and worked faith in our hearts. Then we could receive Christ as our Savior and our Lord. That's what Martin Luther wrote, really, when he said in his little catechism, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord and come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. He has enlightened me with His gifts, and He has sanctified and preserved me in the true faith." We have all kinds of examples of this. It was not enough for Peter to see Jesus suffer and to die. Even to stand at the foot of His cross, it was not enough. It was not enough that he saw Jesus after the resurrection, right in His very presence. It wasn't enough. The person who is converted or spiritually awakened has another story to tell. Millions have heard about Jesus, but only a small percentage trust Him as their Savior and Lord. Now, why is it? It is only when the Holy Spirit works this faith in the person's heart that he can receive Him as the Savior and the Lord. Then his life is changed, and then he knows that he is in relationship with God for all eternity. That's why the gospel is needed, for it is through the gospel that the Holy Spirit works. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, it is enough that Jesus suffered, died, and was raised again. That is enough for our salvation. But it cannot come into my life until the Holy Spirit has created faith. I cannot muster this up. And I believe that there are many people who are working hard and striving and want to believe in Jesus, but they're having awful times doing it. Doesn't this happen through the law? Does God give you His Spirit, St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, which is a part of our text today, and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Paul says, you can have the law, and it is good, and we need it. As we learned last week in the message from Paul to the Galatians, it is the law that convicts us of our sins. But it is only through hearing the gospel that Jesus Christ has atoned for our sins that the Holy Spirit can work and work faith, so that by grace I can reach out, and that's not of my own doing, and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come into my life." And if that be true, and that's a strong biblical message that comes to us in today's text. If that be true, then why do we revert back to a law religion that will not create any relationship with God at all? It is Christ and the cross, and not the Moses and the law, which changes a person. And it is through the gospel that we see Christ and have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to receive Him. Now let's take a few practical applications as far as this great New Testament text is concerned. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, Paul says once more, or because you believe what you have heard? Let me ask you, in the light of that word, what is the church's mission on this earth? Would you agree with me? It is to reach out to people with the gospel. Now, that does not mean that we are to condone the sinful acts that the person is doing and not make any reference to the law at all. Now, that's sometimes the way that we want to do it. Neither are we to sit back and point a condemning finger at the individual and say, why did you do this or why did you do that? You may think that that will turn that person around, but in most cases, it never will. We are to present the gospel. And then the person begins to think, and the Holy Spirit begins to work. And pretty soon there is faith in the heart, enough faith that that person can reach out and say, Lord, I'm helpless. Come into my life. Let me receive Christ, that he might grant me the forgiveness of my sins, that he might change my law, life. The gospel, my friend, has a power to make these changes in our lives. That's why Paul could say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Our society has fallen into the depth of the sin of sexual immorality. In Time magazine, the May 9th edition, there's an article entitled Faith and the Frat Boys, and they tell of the open lifestyles of students at a Midwestern university. Let me quote from this article. At 3:30 on a Sunday morning, Brandon Strub soberly surveyed the bodies draped across the sofas in his fraternity house at Indiana University. Two girls cuddled and exchanged a languid kiss. One's breast popped out of her low top. How will they feel when they wake up in the morning? Strub asked. Truth is, most of them wouldn't be up in the morning. By the time the revelers rose afternoon, Strub, 21, who was not only a loyal fraternity member but also a leader in the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, has already gone to church and come back. As some of his frat brothers nurse hangovers and others ponder the situation from the night before, Strub ponders his situation. He walks a fine line of faith at this university. The challenge, Strub says, is, how can I serve God and love the guys right here? Now, that's a very practical question, isn't it? Coming right out of one of our secular magazines, telling us what's going on in this university, and you can be sure it is probably true in most of them. Can Straub say, okay, I'm going to set them straight? So he goes down into their presence and said, now look what you people have to show for last night. Does he go down and confront them with the law of God, stating that such behavior that they have gone through is sin? Yes, he can, and many have. But generally speaking, that has done no good. Why? Because these young people know that what they did is wrong. Most of them have come from homes where there has been some understanding of the law. Most of them probably have been in a Sunday school and have had the Ten Commandments brought to them. They know that this is wrong, and for that we can give thanks. For it is that law that first has to be applied that Straub can begin to talk to them about the gospel. Perhaps there will be one who will say, you weren't with us last night. You were in your bed. You awakened this morning and went to church. We didn't. Can you help us? What then does Straub do? Not throw the law. They've already made confession. but come with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where the Holy Spirit works, faith. And when faith is found in that student's heart, he will reach out to Christ. Christ will forgive him, and Christ will change his life. It is the gospel that they need to hear. That does not mean that we're condoning what they did. It doesn't mean that we're emphasizing so strongly the condemnation. We leave that to God. But it means that we tell them that Jesus can change their lifestyle. Now let's take it off from the university campus and take it to the churches. Our churches are wrestling with the problems of sexual behavior, such as we have not known in many denominations, at least in the past. There are such things as they're debating same-sex marriages. What shall we do? Shall we condemn it? Shall we condone it? Or shall we tell them the gospel and let Christ really enter into that heart? And the answer becomes apparent. We're talking about the ordination of practicing homosexuals. How shall we handle it? St. Paul would say, he announces that such style of living is wrong, is sin, but then he would tell them about the forgiveness of sin and how Christ can change that situation. What about cohabitation? Maybe we have spent so much time on some of these other sexual problems that we haven't gotten to one that is almost accepted, cohabitating. Simply move in with the person. Many of the people who come to our churches today and have their lovely weddings have been cohabitating. What do we do? Do we dismiss these people from church membership? Do we forbid them as far as marriage is concerned? Do we really throw a stirring, condemning finger at them? Well, what they're doing is wrong. But we tell them the story of Jesus Christ. Confronted with the law, sin still being sin, these people need to hear that they have a Savior who will not only forgive them, but a life that he will change. Preach the gospel. Christ will forgive you. Christ will empower you to forsake your past and become new people in him. As the gospel is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit will be at work and change will take place in the life. No. It wasn't enough for God to create us that we might live in fellowship with him, because we fell in sin and sin separated us from our Creator, and thus there is no fellowship. No, it wasn't enough for Christ to make full atonement for our sins by his suffering, death, and resurrection, because we, by our own strength, could not believe it. But the Holy Spirit came to this earth to work through the Word of God and create faith in our hearts that we might receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Listen once again. Our God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, doing his work in us that we might live forever. And that, my friend, is enough. Amen.
Thank you.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our feverish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. Impure lies thy servants find. In deeper reverence, praise. Father, we realize how impossible it is for us, by our own reason or strength, to believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But we thank you that you have told us today that if we would live with your gospel, the Holy Spirit would work through those words and we would be brought to faith. And then we can say, come, Lord Jesus, forgive me and make me yours forever. May that be true in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to support this ministry with a memorial gift. A memorial gift is given to remember a loved one or friend. Address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are thankful to all those who support this ministry with their prayers and finances. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.